Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo, and we're reading through the Bible, and this is the first chapter of 2 Thessalonians, and let's all go up to the throne to ask the Lord to bless this service. Heavenly Father, our Lord and our God, we thank and praise your wonderful holy name for eternal life and for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your word, which is spirit and life. Lord, we ask that you pour out your spirit on everyone hearing this tape. We pray that you'll open their hearts, their souls, and their minds. Open their minds. Their minds, Lord. Open their minds. Open their minds, Lord, while you're telling me to just keep emphasizing their minds to where there's no thoughts of their own in their minds, Lord, but that there is your mind replacing theirs. Lord, let them receive in their mind, and then let it drop down into their spirit and their soul. All the things that you prepared for us from before the foundation of the earth, we give you all the praise, the glory, the thanks in Jesus' name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, let's start out from the King James. What happens is we read the King James, and then we parallel it with an exposition here, a commentary from me. In the name of Jesus. All right, let's go.
Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth.
All right, now, it's very important for faith to grow, and because the more that we apply the word of the Lord into our minds, because most people know where their mind is, but they don't know where their spirit and their soul is, that it's applied into their mind so they can remember it. For so many people are not applying the word of the Lord to their minds. Their mind is being bombarded constantly from one minute of the day to the first minute in the day to the last with every kind of thought pattern, every type of distraction that comes from the enemy of their souls. And so this is why the Lord is emphasizing for people to concentrate the word being received into the mind. All right, now, go ahead and read from my commentary.
Greetings from Paul. This letter is from Paul, Silas. The Greek word for Silas is Silvanus, and Timothy.
Okay, so Silas is Silvanus, all right?
Yes.
Got that?
Yes.
Never forget it in your mind, okay, right?
Yes.
Then what?
It is written to the church in Thessalonica, you who belong to God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
This is who the letter is to, the church. All right, then what?
May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you power and peace.
Give you grace and peace. Okay, power and peace. Then what?
Encouragement while being persecuted.
Okay, go ahead.
We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure.
Okay, this is pretty explanatory, so go ahead to that point.
Dear brothers and sisters, we always thank God for you as it is right, for we are thankful that your faith is flourishing and you are all growing and the love is growing for one another.
You have love is the same, charity and love are the same thing. Okay, then what?
We tell with pride God's other churches regarding your endurance and faithfulness in tribulations and all your persecutions and hardships you are suffering. In King James, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you.
Okay, go up to that point here.
But God will use the persecution to show his justice, for he will make you worthy of his kingdom for which you are suffering. And in his justice, he will punish those who persecute you.
Right, so people should know there's a consolation if you're being persecuted, you're going through trials, tribulation, all kinds of trouble, that God is going to make them suffer. Amen?
Amen.
So there's, we're not to take vengeance, because vengeance, he wants to make them suffer. He doesn't want us to do it. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
King James, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay. The reason that the Lord had Paul write this letter is because the first letter that he wrote tells of that about they are going through all these tribulations and everything, and then he started telling them about how that they're going to be taken out of this, that God is going to raise up the dead in Christ first, those that were asleep in the ground that went on, they're asleep in Christ, and their bodies are buried in the ground. And so they started thinking that the Lord was coming sooner than he was. And that there was no need to work anymore or to do anything anymore. They're just going to, he's going to come and get them. So his first letter worked the reverse. And so in chapter 2, he's going to start telling them, now wait a minute, you know, the Lord's not coming until you first see a great falling away from the church. You understand? So the first letter was good, but it worked a reverse thing on them than he intended for them to receive. So chapter 2 will tell about that. Okay, so let's go now to my commentary.
And God will provide rest for you who are being persecuted, rest with us and also for us when the Lord Jesus appears from heaven. He will come with his mighty angels, in flames or flaming fire, bringing judgment on those who don't know God and on those who refuse to obey the good news of our Lord Jesus.
Yeah, to them it's not good news. It's just something boring, or they really don't take it into their minds and their spirits. It's just that they always have something more important to do. They'll hear the message and say, that was cool, and then they just resume doing the same thing they've always done, or they get worse. Okay? The Lord called us to work, not fuss over things that are meaningless. Okay, now what?
King James, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day.
Okay, go ahead and do the commentary.
They will be punished with everlasting destruction, forever separated from the Lord and from his glorious power, when he comes to receive glory and praise from his holy people, and you will be among those praising him on that day, for you believe the things that we testified regarding him. And King James, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power.
Can you read it in here?
This is the reason we keep on praying for you, that our God will make you worthy.
Yeah, why are we always praying for people? Well, here's the reason why. Now, the Lord lets me know that there are, the love of many has waxed cold in these days, and people really don't pray one for another. They're busy fussing over this thing or that thing, stuff that doesn't even matter. You never see them praying, ever. They're always fussing over something.
This is the reason we keep on praying for you, that our God will make you worthy of the life to which he has called you.
Yes, because if you don't keep praying one for another, then he will not account you worthy of the life that he has designated for people that love him and keep his commandments. His commandments are to pray constantly. Isn't that the word?
Yes.
Okay, then what?
And we pray that God, by his power, will fulfill all his good intentions for you of his goodness.
His intentions are is that you are saved, but only if you do what he says to do. Isn't that what he says?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
And the work of faith by his power.
Faith means that you're going to do what he says, pray without ceasing. Then what?
Will fulfill all the good things you will do and have done.
Yeah. It's amazing how people that know that I live the Word, they just don't care whether they sin or not. Okay, then what?
And King James.
I mean, it takes me hours to write these chapters out, to parallel them, to explain them every night. And then to have people, we have a person that they think they're great singers, like Caruso or somebody, and they go in and sing a song and then walk out of the service, and they come up with all sorts of excuses. Of course, there's all kinds of excuses, but the Lord doesn't want excuses. So I ban them from the service because it disturbs the service. It's a bad testimony to the people in the church, and there's no need for them to be there. Every time they come into the church, there's something that they do that is so off the wall that it becomes a bad testimony to everybody in the church. And so they shouldn't, I don't want them in the church. Then what?
King James, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Then at that time, everybody will give honor to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ because of you, and you will be honored along with him. All this is made possible because of the power of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ.
All right, praise the Lord. Now, that was the first chapter of 2 Thessalonians. Now we're going to go just into the book of Psalms. Okay, read Psalm 1. But we'll have somebody else read that. Sharon, do you want to come here and read?
Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly.
No, there's many people in the church that think that fussing over one thing or fussing over another thing is more important than what the Lord says to fuss over. He tells us to fuss over his word, to pay attention to his word. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Nor standeth in the way of sinners.
Because those that are sinning, like people that are mothers and dads, they sin, and then they see their kids are incorrigible. And then they wonder why the kid is that way. Well, they figure, well, mommy, you do this, like you're a liar, or you do things that are totally against the word of God. And if she does it, and she's not thrown out of the church, then why can't we? And they become incorrigible. There isn't anything you can do with them except eventually ask the whole family to leave. So read that statement again, that last one.
Nor standeth in the way of sinners.
Because when then they start acting that way up in the church, then everybody becomes a sinner. And so they're standing in the way of a sinner going to the kingdom of heaven. They just like blocking the road, like a basketball player blocks somebody from trying to make a score. Or in football players do everything they can do to stop someone from catching the ball and making a goal with it. Then what?
Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful.
Yeah, and when people are paying more attention to just other things, like they'll come to sing in the church or something, and then they just walk out of the service. They're scorning the tapes. They're scorning the Word of God. And they don't belong in the church. Well, read that again.
Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful.
So what they are doing is sitting in the seat. They're not blessed by the Lord, but they're cursed because they scorn the Word of the Lord. They don't meditate in it day and night. Everything is a joke to them. They don't receive it into their minds. They think they have a spirit, but they don't know where it's at. Well, you know where your mind is, amen? And the Lord is emphasizing in this message to receive these words in the mind. The place that's being bombarded constantly as soon as the service is over. Well, you just, and maybe a half hour afterwards, you're the same old you. Because you're not meditating, you don't have it locked in your mind. Then what?
But his delight is in the law of the Lord.
Yeah, instead of being delighted with everything else, his delight is in the Word. That is so depressing to satanic people that it is not even funny. It's horrible. Then what?
And in his law doth he meditate day and night.
Yeah, in the law of God, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, he meditates day and night. Lord, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? What am I? Do you want me to pray now? What Bible passage do you want me to read? What do you want me to pray about? These things are never, ever, ever in the minds of people like that. They never think of anything like that. They sit in the seat of scorners. The Word of God is like nothing to them. Even though the Word of God tells you to stay in there all the time, day and night, that never even enters their mind once the service is over. Once they read, that's just like hickory dickory dock. Then what?
And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water.
But the people that don't meditate on the Lord day and night, the people that are scorners, are not like trees planted by the living water. And planted in the living water. But they're out in the desert, way out in the middle of the hottest desert on earth, where there's no water. And that doesn't bother them either. Either. Or there. Okay, then what?
That bringeth forth his fruit in his season.
There's no fruit on them. They never win souls. They throw souls. That's what their main shtick is in the body of Christ. They're outside the body. But it is as the scriptures tell us that Antichrist sits among or inside and around among the people of the Lord. He says, they were with us, but they didn't stay with us. They were not of us, otherwise they wouldn't have left. They left a long time ago because doesn't mean that they removed their bodies, but they left off serving the Lord. Because they were antichrist, against Christ, right inside the church. Right, the gathering place, rather. They decided to not serve God, to be a bad influence on others.
His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth...
Right, you will not fall away, in other words. And your children will not fall away.
And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away.
Right, the wind is the Holy Spirit. Doesn't the Bible say that the wind is the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Then what?
Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment.
Okay, that means that they will not be happy with their trial on judgment day, on the day of trial. Because they cannot stand. They're going to fall. When you're not standing, you're falling. Or you've fallen. You've fallen from the power of God. Falling from grace means you've fallen from the power of God. And if you have no power of God, then you can do nothing. Because all power in heaven and earth belongs to Christ. And you've fallen from power, from grace, you've fallen from the Lord Jesus Christ. You've trampled his blood underfoot and put him out to open shame. Therefore, what can we, a mere pastor, do? We told you the word, and you're supposed to allow the word to enter your mind and into your heart. It's supposed to be written on the table of your heart. Not your stony heart, but your fleshy heart. That is now become spiritual. And so what can a pastor do to keep you standing? All he can do is what the Bible tells us to do, is to just preach the word, tell them. And if they don't receive it, well, there's nothing we can do about it. Except what the Lord tells us we can do about it. And put them out of the church, but the church happens to be a building. And the Bible says that whole building. There's a whole bunch of that building that's going to take the abomination into it. That means Satan's spirit, which is the spirit of the false prophet, the Antichrist, the man of perdition, into them. He says that he'll sit down in the holy place. Well, where is the holy place? It's supposed to be God's people, amen?
Amen.
So he's going to sit down in the tabernacle, the holy tabernacle of the Lord. And he's going to enter them. And they're all those that let him do that, let Satan sit in them, are the ones that think that the word of God is baloney, bojive, just nothing, trash. It's an imposition for them to even hear it. Well, the spiritual realm is very subtle to those kind of people. It enters in the spirit. You can't feel it hardly. You wish not that the Holy Spirit has left you. You have no idea that he has, and that Antichrist has taken up his residence in your very soul, in your spirit. The body and the spirit became a living soul. Though your whole being is your soul. And the spirit is the same thing. It doesn't have anything to do. The spirit doesn't have anything, isn't anything until the spirit of the Lord lodges inside and locks himself, or you lock him in because you don't want to lose him. You lock Christ into you by doing what he tells you to keep your mind stayed upon him without ceasing and praying to him without ceasing. Are you praying for the brothers like Paul and the sisters like Paul did? We, without ceasing, pray for you, brethren. There's many people that don't even say one prayer for their brethren, let alone the pastor, who's being bombarded by such individuals as this, both day and night. They're being bombarded, but as long as we, the pastors, or anyone else for that matter, keeps their minds stayed upon the Lord both day and night, well, there's these evil spirits and the evil things that people are constantly doing around us will not throw our souls. We're able to go through that sort of trouble without being decked. All right, then what?
Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous.
Right, so sinners will have to go. Okay, then what?
For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
Yeah, he knows the way of both of them. But the way of the ungodly, the Bible says, the straight is the way, narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life, and few there be that find it. I said in a message the other day that we have to squeeze in, because the original text states that we have to press in, squeeze in, can't be go to the left, can't go to the right, but we have to go straight on. And because the Lord is very good, but he's also very severe. He means what he says. He's not a man that he should lie. If he says people go to hell for not doing these things, well, then they will go to hell. A lot of liars think that even God is a liar. But they'll see real soon whether he's a liar or not. He'll straighten them out at the judgment bar, but it'll be too late for them then. Then what?
Psalm 2.
Psalm 2. Well, we won't do Psalm 2 today. This is Tony Alamo. And this you've been hearing is the Word of God. And Lord willing, I'll be doing Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 this evening. Or I'm praying now that the Lord will show me other passages, whatever he wants. Because it isn't necessarily of the Spirit to just continuously read one in a row. That's why the Lord had me go to Psalms last night. To hear that, and I would suggest that everybody reads Psalms, because you will not become thankful, you will not continue in your thanksgiving the Lord or praising the Lord on a continuous basis. The Lord inhabits the praises of his saints. So if you're losing a little power, or you're getting a little bored or a lot bored with the reading of all these epistles or letters from Paul to the different churches, then the Lord is telling me that you should read in the book of Psalms, so that it'll bring you back to praising the Lord, so that your spiritual strength will be regained, so that you'll be able to continue on. The Lord dwells in the presence, in the praises of his saints. Amen?
Amen.
So let's praise and thank the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So let's do that. Let's praise the Lord right now. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, start. Praise you, Jesus.
Praise.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you for the finances you've been sending in. We've been able to pay all of the credit card bills. That was a lot of money. And we thank and praise you, Lord, that the bills are getting paid. We thank you for... More than that, we thank you for eternal life. We thank you for your power. We praise you for your power, Lord.
Praise
the Lord. Thank you, Father. Now just keep praising and thanking the Lord, and keep reading Psalms. Praise the Lord. And listen to what the psalmist David says. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. And we give you, Father God, all the praise and the thanks and the glory. These are not just words, but the praises have to come from the heart. And they have to come from the heart. The praises roll up into the kingdom of God, because you're really there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And you hear us, Lord, and you answer us, and you show us great and mighty things. Lord God, we thank you for spiritual power, your power. Not undeserved favor, but power. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for showing us that these new versions of the Bible are not true, because they say undeserved favor, but you stated that we deserve to be in the kingdom of heaven if we're doing all the things that you say. Lord, I leave the congregation with this thought. And we pray, Lord, that you'll show me exactly what it is that I'm supposed to read, or expound on in the service tomorrow, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo, and God bless you till then.